Welcome to The Compass, a podcast from the people of Calvary Baptist Church of Fayetteville. I'm your host, Dan Carson, pastor of Family Ministries. Christmas is now less than a month away, and we're gearing up in a big way here at Calvary. Our worship center is decorated for Christmas, and we're excited about you joining us throughout the season. This coming Sunday, December 2nd, we'll be having our annual holiday meal. And as we go later into the month, our Christmas choir will be sharing. We'll even have a special Christmas Eve service. Be sure to contact our church office if you have any questions. We would love to have you join us. Now, this past Sunday, I had the opportunity to share with our church family as we continued our journey through Genesis. Specifically, we spent time looking at Abraham and Sarah's visit from three very special guests. As we listen together today, I hope that you'll think about the question, is anything too hard for God?
We'll be looking at Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving. My Thanksgiving began with my daughter and I waking up really early so that we could go up to Rogers and participate in the Sheepdog Impact Assistance Turkey Trot. Now, my daughter was volunteering, and she had to be there by 7 in the morning. Now, the race wasn't until 9, but I thought, okay, well, I'll go ahead and I'll go up there with her too. That's just way too early. That is way too early on a Thanksgiving morning to be getting up. Some of you ladies and some of you guys may have been up cooking at that point, but we were out and about. Running has taught me a lot over these past several years as I've done that. I've learned a lot about my faith. I've learned a lot about who I am. And this last Thursday taught me another lesson. It's not to start too fast. At about a mile and a half, I realized that I had jumped the gun. I had finished the first mile in under 9 minutes per mile, which is super fast for me. I was out there thinking I am doing great, and all of a sudden, I couldn't breathe. How am I going to continue? But then I realized I had to just keep pushing on. And that's what I've learned through running, is that there are times when you just have to keep pushing on. You've made a commitment. You are aiming for the finish line. You're working hard. You see what you want to do and what you want to accomplish, and you just have to keep pushing on. And there are times that's what we have to do. We have to keep pushing on. And I want to just encourage you. We've already shared what this question is going to be for today. Is anything too hard for God? And the simple answer is no, but there's a lot that we're going to learn in that process as we look at God's Word today. And I want you to realize that a big part of it is we just have to keep pushing on. Well, for many of us, laying down our heads at night is restful. It is the conclusion to a busy day and one we gladly accept. However, there are those of us who struggle with the quiet and end up with minds racing to all sorts of places. It's actually something that I've struggled with for many years. I think back to when I was a kid. I'd lay in bed and think about a whole host of things. And during that time, I loved space. I wanted to be an astronomer. I wanted a telescope. I thought that'd be cool. I loved things like Star Wars and Star Trek, and just was enamored with that. Well, then I would sit there, and I would lie, and I would think about, how big is space? Is there an edge to the universe? And if so, what's on the other side? It would just reach on and on and on. Then my mind would go to time. I think about, you know, not just what was in the beginning or what was before the beginning and how long was God around, and God is everlasting, so he was always there, and it just, as a little 9-year-old boy, my brain would just turn and turn and turn and turn. We know that God was in the beginning and God created everything, but if God has always been and always will, how long is that? Now, if we have a relationship with Christ, we go to heaven for eternity, but how long is eternity? And both of these are big questions, again, for that 9-year-old to be struggling with when they should be sleeping. However, those are the type of questions that would run my mind. And then there was one, I guess, had a little bit more theological implications, although as a 9-year-old, I wasn't thinking about deep theological things. If God can do anything, can he create a rock so heavy that he can't pick it up? Now, I wasn't looking to be a great theologian, but it did make me think. It's that type of question that we're talking about today. That type of thing that is at the crossroads of possible and impossible. We want to evaluate the question that was aimed at Abraham and Sarah. Is anything too hard with God? Now, before you answer too quickly, I know that we would actually, there's nothing too hard for God. Let me ask you, does your life reflect the answer of yes? You see, if we believe that God is capable of keeping his promises and bringing about his will no matter what, then our life will reflect that. Our commitment will be deeper. Our service will be stronger. Our worship will be more enthusiastic. Is anything too hard for God? Now, this morning, we're going to continue our journey through Genesis with chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. We're going to look at Abraham's visit from three very special guests, one prophetic statement, Sarah's reaction, and one very pointed question. Now, in addition, we're going to briefly look at two other passages of Scripture that touch on this concept from the New Testament, Matthew 19 and Luke chapter 1. So I want us to start, though, with Genesis chapter 18. If you don't have a Bible, and I hope that you do, there is a Bible in the pew rack close to you, and our text is found on page 12 there. And as you turn, let me share with you that if you don't have a Bible and you need one, please take one that is our gift to you. We know that God's Word provides direction for life. In a very real sense, it is our compass, it is our GPS, all rolled up into one. And we love to see everyone with a Bible in hand studying and growing in their faith and their knowledge of God's Word. Just recently, I was listening to a podcast about student ministry, about lessons learned. And it was just unusual about the different things that they took from there. And one of the things that they learned from an old pastor that they had was how important God is to them. They would make a point to never let anything sit on their Bible. Now, we don't want to come across as legalistic. This ultimately is a book. It is simple, but it is so much more than that. And in that little decision, that old-time pastor was saying, nothing is above God's Word. And so we want God's Word to be an active, real part of your life. And so that's where we want to start today. That's where we always want to be at, is looking at Genesis chapter 18 this morning. In verse 1, there the Bible says, "And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, and as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, 'O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant.' So they said, 'Do as you have said.' And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, 'Quick, three seas of fine flour, knead it and make cakes.' And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. And they said to him, 'Where is Sarah, your wife?' And he said, 'She is in the tent.' And the Lord said, 'I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son.' And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years, and the way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, 'After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?' And the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh and say, "Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?" Is anything too hard for the Lord? And at the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son.' And Sarah denied it, saying, 'I did not laugh,' for she was afraid. And he said, 'No, but you did laugh.'" This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for how you love us and you care for us, and you do such wondrous things. And Father, help us as we look back on how you've worked in our lives and how you will work in the life of our families and our church. We just want to give you the praise in advance for how you can do what is seemingly impossible. Father, I ask that you be with us as we look at your word this morning. Help us to understand it better and help us to be ready to say yes to whatever you have for us. In Christ and we pray, amen. Well, this morning we want to look at three different things. We want to look first at Abraham's visit. And as we've looked at Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15, there's some things that we need to see and understand. And this is where we're going to hang out for the most of the time together this morning. But I want us to understand this question and to be able to answer it with confidence. Is anything too hard for God? So as we look at Abraham's visit, we see, first of all, that Abraham recognized who was visiting. If we look back at verses 1 through 8, that he was sitting in the heat of the day, then all of a sudden, in a sense, out of nowhere, three visitors showed up. These weren't just three people coming along. This isn't a story just about hospitality. This is a story about an angelic visit, a visit that Abraham was blessed with, and so that he could understand better of what he needed to do and what he needed to be. As he saw these men stand before him, he ran, as we see. He ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, "O Lord, if I found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant." Abraham knew who this was. He knew this was more than just a person coming along. He knew this was more than just someone who had authority over him. He knew that this was the Lord. He bowed low to greet them, and he rushed beyond just normal hospitality. He hurried because he knew who was with him. He understood that. We need to be in a close enough relationship with our Father. We need to be reading the Word, understanding the Word well enough that when we are struck with those moments that we are there in the presence of God and He's speaking to our heart, that we understand that that is God in those moments. Too often we come and we hear the message, and then it's another week before we open up God's Word again. But we have God's Word. We have the ability to read it on an iPad, an iPhone, any sort of device that's out there anymore. You can open up your Bible. We have access to God's Word, and because of that, we need to invest in it so that we can easily recognize God when He shows up in our lives in big ways. Abraham realized that. He rushed beyond normal hospitality. He hurried because he knew who was with him, and he was being visited by heavenly travelers, the pre-incarnate Christ, and two heavenly warriors with him. And that's a powerful thing to know. He recognized him as Lord. As we go on to this passage, you're going to notice that it actually says it two other ways, or it's stated another way in here. It's saying, "My Lord," in verse 12, where Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I'm worn out, my Lord is old." That is written differently in your Bible than as you see "Lord" written before. This is an indication that this is God, Adonai. He is with us, and we want to celebrate that. Abraham recognized who was with him. And then secondly, Abraham received his promise yet again. God had made his promise known to Abraham over the years. However, there was something a little different about what was going on and what was going to be said today. As we go in verse 9, as we look, he said, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." But then the Lord told Abraham that this time next year, Sarah will have given birth to a son. There were some specifics shared that they hadn't been given before. In a year's time, the son was going to be there, this promise. Now, we know that Sarah responded to the words of the visitors in verses 11 through 12. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. And so Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I am worn out, my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?'" You know, in the next group of verses here, that we find out that Abraham and Sarah were both very old. 90 years old, 100 years old, those are years that have passed. I have enough difficulty thinking about having a young child at the age of 46. I cannot imagine what it'd be like. Let's add 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Let's add 50 years. I can't imagine what must be going through their mind when this is happening. Now, Sarah responded the way that we might, by laughing. She didn't believe that it was possible, and honestly, neither would we. I'm sure that Sarah had thought that Ishmael was that child of promise, that she had done her part in providing Hagar to bring Ishmael into the world, and biology was not in Sarah's favor. She was an older woman, and there's no reason to expect that she would be able to have a child. But the question was posed, is anything too hard for God? That's a question that we must embrace. It's a question that we must think about and understand, because Sarah was posed with this. When Sarah was questioned about her laughter, she denied it. She said, no, I didn't laugh. The Lord asked, is anything too hard for God? Again, I want us to immediately say yes, or to answer no, that there's nothing too hard for God. But if our life doesn't reflect that truth, then there is a problem. Although we don't have a written response of what Abraham or Sarah said, we can conclude that she didn't believe that God was capable of anything. She was walking by sight and not by faith. Ultimately, Sarah's response to this question was disbelief. She laughed. Now, it might have sounded funny, but the pre-incarnate Christ had said, is anything too hard for God? As we look through this short little story, it's just a reaffirmation of God's promise to Abraham, that God was going to bless the world, that God was going to bless the nations through Abraham and specifically Sarah. Is anything too hard for God? As we look beyond the Old Testament, as we go over to the New Testament, let me invite you to turn to Matthew. We're going to look chapter 19, verses 16 through 30. We'll take just a moment or two there as we look at chapter 19, verses 16 through 30. There the Bible says, and behold, a man came up to him and saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And she said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good, and if you would enter life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, Which ones? And Jesus said, You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbors as yourself. And the young man said to him, All these I have kept. What do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Then Peter said in reply, See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? And Jesus said to them, Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. It is important for us to understand that as we look at this encounter, that statement, that truth is there again. Is anything too hard for God? Now, it's stated differently. It's stated with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. I don't know about you, but I like football movies. I've been fascinated with them since I probably watched Rudy as one of my first ones. But I love Facing the Giants. There's this great scene, and I wanted to show part of it, but then I thought, well, maybe you haven't seen it. But as you get towards the end of the movie, there's a moment in the locker room when the impossible has been made possible, when this little scrawny team from a small Christian college that had just been trying to honor God with their season had done the impossible. They went on a winning streak, and a small little guy who could didn't even need to be on a football field kicks a game-winning field goal. And as the coach comes in, he says to them, you know, you shouldn't have been able to do that. You shouldn't have been able to make that. But with God, all things are possible. As he goes around the room, and he looks at these young men and says, you shouldn't have been able to do that. But with God, all things are possible. Is anything too hard for God? No. As we look at this story, this encounter with this young rich ruler, the young rich ruler posed the question, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus responded by telling him that he must start by keeping God's commandments. He said, I've done those things. I have followed you. I have not committed adultery. I have not committed murder. I have done those things. I have kept your commandments. But at the end of the statement, the rich young ruler, he walks away. We go on and we see that Jesus goes on to talk about how hard it is for the rich to be saved. And the truth is that those in a state of satisfaction often don't see their great need for God. When we become comfortable, we don't realize how much we need the Father, and we don't depend on Him the way that we need to. My question for us is, have we become too comfortable here at Calvary or here in the American church? Have we become so comfortable that we don't depend on God the Father? Hard to say, but the truth is that I believe that's the case. Now, as hard as it may be for those to accept the free gift of salvation, with God, all things are possible. Now, ultimately, in this story, we know that the end of this story, right here from Matthew 19, is that the rich young ruler responded to our question this morning by walking away. He couldn't believe that it was possible. Is anything too hard for God? Well, yeah, that's too hard. That's too difficult. God couldn't do that in my life, and he walked away. Sarah laughed, the rich young ruler. He just walked away. But then we're going to see where we're headed. In just a month, we're going to be celebrating Christmas. In fact, 1 month from today, we're going to be celebrating that in your home, in my home, spending time thinking about the birth of Jesus. Well, I want us to look briefly at Mary's angelic visit in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. So if you would, turn there with me as we spend just a moment thinking about another time when this question, this concept, this idea was posed. Is anything too hard for God? Verse 26 of Luke chapter 1, the Bible says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you've been found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be a great, and you will be and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of the father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom, and there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child will be born, will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And again, we're faced with the same sort of question, the same sort of thing that we heard all the way back from Sarah and Abraham, of this unbelief, this inability to believe that anything is possible when you look to the Father. The angel Gabriel came to visit a young virgin named Mary who was betrothed to Joseph. She responded in fear at first, and wouldn't we all? If all of a sudden an angel appeared, we wouldn't know what to think or what to respond or how to respond. Gabriel let her know that she would give birth to the long-awaited Messiah, and Mary responded with a question: how can this be? And I think about this question as we echo back to Sarah. She was told that you're going to have a child. Her response was to laugh and think, well, this isn't possible. But Mary asked the question, how can this be? She may have thought some of those same things, had the same sort of disbelief, but in those moments, she asked the question. You see, on the opposite end of the spectrum was Sarah. Pregnancy was going to be just as impossible since she hasn't been with a man. You had Mary, who was a virgin, and you had Sarah, who was an old woman, who was no longer able to have children, but God was going to do a work. He was going to bring about the impossible where it shouldn't have been possible. Gabriel let her know that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and that her cousin would also be giving birth to a son, and she would be doing that in her old age. See, for nothing will be impossible with God. Ultimately, Mary praised God in response to the questions, is anything too hard for God? I want us to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. Whereas Sarah laughed, Mary celebrated. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations call me blessed. And he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, to do his to his offspring forever." This is the word of the Lord. I want us to understand that as she celebrated, there are so many things that call back to this relationship that God had promised Abraham and Sarah. Think about these words, from generation to generation, that all generations shall call me blessed. She was keen into those things. Instead of Sarah just celebrating, she laughed. She thought that this was impossible. Mary saw that with God, all things are possible. She saw and celebrated that. And that's what I want to ask of you this morning. What is your response? We had three responses today as we looked at our message. We have that Sarah laughed when she was hit with this question, is anything too hard for God? And she laughed and with the thought of, I can't believe that. That's not real. That can't happen. She just laughed. Now, the rich young ruler, he simply walked away when he was faced with the gospel and faced with this understanding of that with God, all things are possible. He just walked away. He couldn't embrace that truth. Things were too hard for God in his mind. But then we find Mary, the same Mary who's going to give birth to the Savior, the same Mary that we're going to celebrate from here, not celebrating Mary, but celebrating that birth for this next month as we celebrate Christmas. She praised God. What will be your response? What is your response when you hear the question, is anything too hard for God? Too often we say, well, that is too difficult. Often we say that is too hard. Now, if you lived in Ohio, apparently it isn't even a question. Why do I say that? They know how to answer the question, is anything too hard for God? As I searched this out, I found that with God, all things are possible is actually the motto of the state of Ohio. Quoted from the gospel verse, Matthew 19:26, it's the only state motto taken directly from the Bible. It's defined in their Ohio Revised Code and appears on the seal at many times. The motto was adopted in 1959 and survived a federal constitutional challenge in 2001, and the state maintains that it's a generic expression of optimism rather than endorsement of a particular religion, but the simple truth is that we know that with God, all things are possible. What do I want us to really take away from our time together this morning? I want us to take away a couple of truths. I want us to take away a personal truth. I want you to leave this place and go, okay, if this is real, this is what it means. No matter what situation you're in, no matter what difficulty that you're faced with, what hardship that you're struggling through, what I want you to realize is that God fulfills His promises, that nothing is too hard for God. I don't know what your life is like right now. We put on a great face as we come to church, and a lot of times we smile and give our handshakes, but we have trouble being very real when it comes to the difficulties and hardships that we're facing. But God knows. He knows what's going on right now in your life. We need to understand that He fulfills His promises and that nothing is too hard for God. Now, this next slide is a little bit harder for me to even put on the screen, but I want us to see this. I want you to understand this. The God has called us to minister to our community and our circles of influence. Yes, we have lost over a dozen people this year to transfer and death. But no, God is not done with us. God fulfills His promises. Nothing is too hard for God. Do you believe that? Nothing is too hard for God. The short answer is always no. But there are some qualifiers. What do I mean there? We know that God does not act outside of His character. He works within that realm. So we must understand the answers to these questions if we really want to understand how God is going to respond as we ask Him to work. Does it match up with His will? As I seek God and I say, okay, God, I want You to do this. I'm praying in faith. I am trusting that You're going to do this. Does it match up with His will? Secondly, does it fulfill His word and His promises? When I ask and I pray, and as we spend time in our altar, as you spend time in your prayer closet at home, as you seek the Father, does it fulfill His word and His promises? And the third thing is, does it bring honor and glory to Him? See, we often ask God things, and then He doesn't answer in the way we expect Him to answer, and then we think, well, that was too hard for God. That was too difficult for God, or that was just impossible. But the simple truth is, are we putting it through this filter? Does it match up with His will? Does it fulfill His word and promises? Does it bring honor and glory to Him? I want God to bless Calvary in such a way that there is no denying that it is the Father who has done these things. I want people to see just how great a God that we serve, great a God that we love. And I could pray that because I believe that it matches up with His will. I believe that it fulfills His word and promises, and I believe that it brings honor and glory to Him. Now, would I like a brand new car? I can pray, God, give me a brand new car. But does it match up with those questions? And then when He doesn't give me a new car, I just say, well, that was too hard for God. That was an impossible situation. But does it match up with these questions? When we ask within these parameters, we ask boldly and with confidence. When we ask outside of these concepts and He doesn't respond, God did not fail. It's not that He wasn't able to do something. It just wasn't in line with His will. So let me ask you this one last time. Is there anything too hard for God? No. No. Sarah and Abraham were looking at the future. They had been given this promise of that they were going to bless the nations, that Abraham was going to be the father of a multitude, and that the world was going to be blessed through him. And they looked at that, and they tried to figure it out on their own, and they took steps to do that. And God just kept coming back to him and saying, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. And then one time that we read about in Genesis 18, we understand that he comes back and says, a year from now, Sarah, you're going to have that baby. And she laughed. We might have laughed too, but what we need to understand, there is nothing too hard for God. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for all that you do in our lives. We thank you for how you work. We thank you for how you show yourself in your word. And Father, I just ask that you give us faith and you give us courage and you give us strength. And we're just going to lean into you, God. Father, I love this church. And I know that you are capable of doing great and mighty and even what seems impossible things here. I just ask that you do that. That you fulfill your word, your promises, and that we trust you. In Christ and we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening today. We pray that God has used his word to speak to your heart. If you're looking for a church in Northwest Arkansas, we would love to have you join us. We're looking for men and women ready to serve faithfully and diligently as we seek to impact Fayetteville and beyond. We hope that you'll check us out online at calvaryfayetteville.com or through our Facebook page. Until next time, though, remember that God, His Word, and His people can provide direction for life.